Well, good morning. Hope that you all have enjoyed this holiday time, this time to celebrate the birth of Christ together with your families and your friends. And it's great to be back together with the Lord this morning. You know, when I think of this time of year, it's hard not to think of just traditions. All of us have traditions in our families. I think one of the things that we always did when I was growing up, we would go to Florida to visit my grandparents who lived there. And they would, you know, certainly decorate up their house for Christmas time with lots of lights. And, you know, some of our traditions are good, some of them not so good. Some of them are pleasant, enjoyable. Sometimes they're difficult even. And some are just kind of goofy. But I remember one of the things that we had at my grandparents' house, I don't know if you can see it, but was one of those special silver tinsel Christmas trees. You know, and it had this special light that had a circle that rotated and shined different colors of light on it. And some of you are shaking your heads. Yeah, we had one of those. You know, it was before they could move all those trees from north down to the south. But I just remember that thinking, wow, well, that's some kind of tree. You know, we also had a gift exchange that we did, and I can still remember kind of some of those really cool presents that I got with the kid. One of them that I remember was a Frosty the Snow Cone machine. It's hard to see here, but it was a Frosty the Snow Cone maker that you could turn his stomach and ice chips would come out of his stomach and you could make snow cones out of it. You know, my parents, maybe like some of you too, used to give us gifts that We needed anyway, you know, like socks and underwear and shoes and shirts and things like that. And, you know, we kind of, as kids, knew what they were doing. But it was okay because once in a while they'd surprise us with something really cool, like this brilliant electric yellow school bus color raincoat and boots. I mean, there were some cool presents that we had. Now, lest you think, you know, this was before the days of electronic gizmos and gadgets, you know, we had some of the coolest gadgets back then as well. In fact, I remember one of my favorite presents was this fully electric Ford Galaxy companion driver kit here that came so I could drive in the back seat of our car while my dad drove in front. And, you know, it had electric turn signals and windshield wipers and, you know, the whole deal was really cool. But I think beyond that, one of my favorite traditions actually was being able to kind of dramatize the Christmas story with my sisters. Every Christmas Eve, we'd gather together. My sisters would go into a room with me, and we'd come up with a new way to tell the Christmas story, and we'd come out and share that with my parents and my grandparents. And then what was really cool was after that, we'd sit around. My grandpa would pull out the Bible, and he'd read the Christmas story. And it was really in those times when, as a family, we looked at God's Word together that the true meaning and reality of Christmas started to sink in for me as a young kid. One of the other traditions that I kind of developed over the years, because we were going to Florida, I think, gave me a chance to just get away from the normal routines of life. And the time between Christmas and New Year's became a special time for me, as it gave me an opportunity to kind of reflect back over the previous year. And to ask some questions of myself, and what was the year like, and what were some of the things that I had gone through. And then to begin to look forward towards the future and wonder a little bit about what will next year bring? What will that future look like? It was really a time of transition that allowed me to stop and take stock a little bit of my life. And really, this time of year is an excellent opportunity for all of us to reflect upon the past and to anticipate the future. Now, let me ask you a question. In your mind's eye, have you ever traveled back in time or imagined what it'd be like in the future? Have you ever thought about the notion of time travel? Well, you know, in some ways, I think it'd be fun. And I used to remember thinking, I wonder what time I would go to if I could travel in time. Or who would I want to visit and just sit with and kind of interact with and see. Well, you know, in Hollywood, they depict that in so many different ways. And it's always a tricky deal to travel in time, to go back in time or forward in time. I remember when the first Back to the Future movie came out in 1985, starring Michael J. Fox. It was a fun adventure of kind of exploring that theme. Unfortunately, the writers put in some inappropriate language, but it was an interesting way of looking at time travel. Marty was kind of this main character, and he had a pretty kind of crazy life, didn't have things together really well. One of his best friends' name was Doc Emmett Brown, and he was this kind of crazy, eccentric scientist. And he had designed and developed a time machine, but he actually did it in a DeLorean sports car. And in his words, he said, well, if you're going to travel through time, you might as well do it in style. So Marty, through this series of misadventures, ends up in this time car and travels back to 1955, and he's in the same town where he had grown up with, and he has to find Doc in those days and figure out a way to get back to the future. And in the meantime, kind of help his parents meet each other and fall in love and eventually allow them to get married so that he could be born and the story could go on. Well, you know, in all that craziness of adventure, it's a hard thing when you mess with time in that way. Well, for those of us who don't have a DeLorean time machine sports car, the point is this: understanding our past, looking back and reflecting upon our past, can help us understand our own circumstances today and even prepare for tomorrow, for the future. You know, that's really the purpose of the time I would spend at the end of every year, was looking back, reflecting on that past, and anticipating the future. It wasn't back to the future, but it was more back for the future, so that as I understood that, I could prepare for the future as well. Well, I want to talk this morning a little bit about that. First, kind of reflecting back over this past year and helping us understand the value of that. Why is it important to look back over our past? Well, for one, we can learn from our past. Could you imagine a life without memory? What would it be like if we were just constantly forgetting things? I remember when I was in college, we took a road trip from our school in Illinois down to Daytona Beach in Florida. And there's about 15 of us, and we rented a Winnebago camper. We were going on a campus crusade outing. And we were traveling together and enjoying the interaction. And we got just past Orlando when we started to look around the camper and say, has anybody seen Matt? Where's Matt? Well, he must be in the back. No, I think he's up front. Well, we had forgotten Matt at the way station in Georgia. And you can imagine our embarrassment as a group of people when we had forgotten one of our fellow passengers. Another man, George Vick, tells a story about this couple that's going on a trip. And they're at the ticket counter waiting to check in. And the husband goes, oh, I wish we had brought our piano. We have so much stuff, but I wish we'd have brought the piano. And the wife looks at him and says, why do we need the piano? We have, 16 bags here. We're checking in. He goes, yeah, I know, but I forgot the tickets on the piano. I mean, our memories are a good thing, and there's lots of good things that we gain from having a memory, and it's important to take time to remember those significant things in our life. How did God show up in your life this year? What were some ways that you saw him at work? What did you learn through those things? You know, this past summer, my mom passed away in June. And it is always hard to lose a parent or a spouse or a loved one in our lives. My mom really was just a spark of energy and life to everyone that she met. And we will always miss her tremendously. But in her passing, I also learned some new things. I saw our family come together in ways that I had not seen for a long, long time. My mom always wanted us to wear pink at her funeral service. She loved hot pink, so all of us wore pink. We had a Dixieland jazz band come and actually play at her service beforehand and afterwards. It was truly a celebration of her life. At 81, she and my dad still worked with some of the students that they had mentored in young life. At that age, they were still involved in people's lives. People would come up to us and say, your mom was like my best friend. I felt like I'd known her all of my life, even though they'd only known her maybe 6 months. That's who my mom was. You see, I saw the love of Christ, the love of God reflected in my mom's life example. And there's things I learned as I walked away from that. I'm thankful for our memories and for the experiences that we have, both the good and the difficult, because we can learn so much from them. And I think as we learn from them, there's other things that we gain from that as well. And that's having the ability and the time to cultivate an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to God. As we see his faithfulness and the majesties of the way his grace and provision work in our life. You know, when you think about it, throughout Scripture, God is constantly bringing signs and things for us to remember back. You think of the rainbow after the flood. You think of the Passover and how it's celebrated as a remembrance of the Exodus when the children of Israel left Egypt. The Exodus itself is just referred to time and time and time again in the Old Testament. Almost in every book of the Old Testament, they point back to when the people left Israel and God's faithfulness in that process. The prophets refer back to that. The temple, the building of the temple is dated with regard to that. Everything seems to point back to it. And Scripture frequently reminds us of God's faithfulness and the lessons we're supposed to remember as a result of his mighty works. I really like Psalm 103, and it's a great model for us to follow. Let me just read the first few verses of that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget none of his benefits. He who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Take time to remember the way that God has been involved in your life. You know, I think here at Wayside Chapel, even over this past year, there are so many ways and places that we can see God's hand at work. I think of some of the outreach events from VBS in the summer and some of the mission trips that went out. I think of celebrating the heart of Christmas that the women's ministry held and Christmas on the home front, and the way that God showed up in so many different ways for each one of those. I think of God's provision for us as a congregation this year, for some of the new staff that we have, Stan and Lindsay Thompson with the junior high, and Tim and Kim Nowell with the senior high, and Don and Kim Yates with our men's ministry and small groups. These are wonderful men and women, families that are part of Wayside. I think of how God provided even for a new roof that we had to put on this fall, something that he provided the resources for. I think of just the ways that God faithfully provided in our lives that we might also have given towards the budget to see that vision fulfilled through our budget process. I think of the local and international ministry teams that have gone out, of our ministry partners serving here and around the world. You see, when we step out in faith and trust God, we see him work in extraordinary ways. So what about each of you? What are some significant events or seasons in your life this past year that you can look back upon and learn some lessons from? How did you see God at work in your life? And how have you thanked him? How has your faith in Christ grown as a result of those things? Well, the second part is as we look backwards and we learn and we give thanks to God, then we can also look forward and begin to anticipate this coming year and what lies ahead. And what's so important about that? What can be gained? Well, some of you might argue, well, you know, we don't know the future. There's no way to tell what the future is going to hold for us, and that's true. But we can look forward and ask ourselves some questions about that. We can anticipate some of the things that might be out there. Some of the changes that we might experience in this coming year. You know, some of you are maybe looking forward to some anticipated changes in your family, maybe the new birth of a child. Others, maybe for a special family vacation or reunion. Some might be preparing to join a mission team this summer and go and serve the Lord in that way. Some might be graduating from high school, like my son, and going off to college. Others graduating from college, starting their first jobs. Some might have a significant job change in their future this coming year, or a project that is coming due that's a big project you've been working on. Some maybe like my wife and I might be celebrating 25 years of being married. We're going to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary this year. And, you know, I couldn't thank God enough for the ways that he has used Diana in my life and in our family's life. So I want to just let you know that if you have any tried and true anniversary ideas, I'm open to suggestions for the 25th. What has worked well or you might suggest for us. All ideas are welcome there. You know, some of you might say, though, you know, Rick, I'm not a visionary. I don't even know what's going to be happening next week, let alone next summer. How can I plan? How can I project into that? You know, and that assessment of reality might really be true for you. And that's okay. I think of when I was in college, we used to go backpacking in Colorado a lot. And one year we were hiking from peak to peak. And as we were coming down off of one mountain, we had to cross this ridge that had some pretty steep cliffs on either side of it. And these clouds came in and just kind of engulfed the whole mountain. And where once we'd been able to see for miles and miles and miles, all of a sudden, you know, our vision was limited to like 20, 30 feet at the most. And it was scary because you're out there trying to cross this ridge, and you know that there's cliffs on either side of you. Sometimes that's how life can feel. You can't see down the road. You don't know what it's going to look like, but you know you're in a scary place. And when that happens, we're called just to take one step at a time. What we could see were the next few steps. And we had a map, and we knew where we were supposed to be going. And as we took those next steps, we could then see a few more, and then see a few more. And sometimes that's what life calls us to do, is to take those next steps. And as we faithfully take each one, we're able to get our way through and find our way through. You see, things don't always come that in the ways that we anticipate them, but God is faithful. And God's sovereign nature allows him to guide us and even to redeem the difficulties that we face in ways that ultimately glorify his name and honor our faith. I wish time allowed this morning even to tell you more about my hand. Maybe some of you have noticed I'm missing a finger. About 5 years ago, I had a very bad accident with a table saw and actually cut off 2.5 of them. They were able to put one back on and sew the other one together as well. It was a difficult time in my life, going through a lot of surgeries, a lot of questioning. And I remember just wondering, would I have anything left when all this was over? And yet, I was able to see God's redeeming nature in truly a remarkable way. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture that many of us, I think, are familiar, but says so much to us about his grace in the midst of difficulties. It's found in Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." I know some of you are in that place today. The difficulties in your life are so hard that you're not even sure how to pray sometimes. "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Paul ends this chapter saying this, "But in all things, We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the midst of difficult things, Paul's not saying that God will always restore things the way they were, and that things will just look peachy keen when we're done. But what he is saying is that he will be with us, and that nothing can separate us from his love. What he is saying is that God has a divine will and plan both for this world and for each one of us, and he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to make all those things work according to his divine plan. Lamentations 3:23 says this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In the midst of uncertainty and trials, God is trustworthy and committed to helping us become all that we are meant to be in Christ. Well, I want to kind of pull this together, this looking back and looking forward, in something I call the faith adventure cycle. You know, as we remember and recognize God's faithfulness in the past, he equips us to step out in faith to trust him for our future. And this is really well illustrated, I think, in the story and the time when the children of Israel were getting ready to cross into the promised land. We find that in the first chapters of Joshua. Let me illustrate it this way. When we step out in faith and do something that we've never done before, that's called the faith adventure cycle. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 here. It begins chapter 1, verse 1 with this. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.'" Let's consider how this is working. Here's the whole tribe of Israel together. They're waiting to cross over the promised land, and Moses, their faithful leader, has just died. The one who interceded to the Lord is gone. And God has appointed a new leader, Joshua, to guide them. In chapter 2, Joshua sends out a couple spies into the promised land. They cross over the Jordan, and they go through Jericho, and they look, and they narrowly escape getting captured if it weren't for the help of Rahab. But people had been in the wilderness now for 40 years, and there was great anticipation of this pivotal moment in their life. Then we read on in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And there they lodged before they crossed. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levites' priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way for which you are to go, for you have not passed this way before.'" You have not passed this way before. The people had never been there before. This was a whole new deal for them. Physically, socially, spiritually, corporately, they had new enemies, there were new challenges, new opportunities. They were going home to the promised land that God had provided for them. You know, whenever we are led to places that we've never been before, whenever we're led into places in our lives that we've never been before, as followers of Christ, we're faced with a tremendous opportunity for growth in our lives. We're not expected to solve all of life's problems or to be self-sufficient and never need God, but we are called to walk by faith, to step out in faith. We're challenged to risk, to believe that God has something even greater, more amazing for us. And I think as Joshua helped the people step into their future, first he had to help them step out in faith. As we look ahead to 2009, as we begin to step into the future, we need to be sure we're ready to step out in faith. So what new places might God be leading you this next year that will require you to step out in faith again? You know, here at Wayside, I think of just some of the new things that are on our horizon, like the partnership with the Colonial Hills Elementary School. And in January, there's going to be a group that's going to begin doing some mentoring with some of the children there and some teacher appreciation activities. And we're looking at ways at how we can come alongside them as a school and how we can share the love of Christ with both the teachers and the kids. Looking at developing some Bible studies in some of the apartment buildings where families from that school go. It's going to take faith on our part as a congregation to reach out in this way. I think a family fiesta that is going to take place in April It's going to be a great opportunity for us as families to come together, to invite neighbors to come here. It's going to be kind of a carnival-like atmosphere that features Toby Travis at the end, a world-famous illusionist that brings a great show, but also, more importantly, the message of Christ through that to our families. All of this is going to require faith on our part as a congregation. You know, as we step out in faith, we also have an opportunity to trust God as never before. When we step out in faith and do something we've never done before, we see an opportunity to trust God as we never have before. And we see this in Joshua as well. The people stepped out in faith to follow Joshua into the promised land. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they might know that just as I have been with Moses, so I am with you. And you shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. The priests had to go before the people and stand in the Jordan. They had to enter the water. Verse 15 says that the river was at flood stage, as it always is during the harvest season. Now, you know, to you and I, that might not seem like a big deal. And even some of you have been and seen the Jordan River, and it's not just necessarily a huge river, but it was at flood stage. Think about it. These guys have been wandering the desert for 40 years. None of them knew how to swim. None of them knew how to swim. They're coming to this river at flood stage, and they're saying, do you want us to cross that? They had every single one of their possessions with them. Imagine it a little bit. You know, I can just think of the unrest that must have been happening in the days before that as the families or moms and dads were interacting with their teenagers over, you know, what to bring. Can I bring this? I don't know. What about this? Should I leave this? Can I take that? Who's going to carry it? What about your little brother? You know, it's kind of like a family vacation when we go to pack. And here they are at the edge of the River Jordan, and the priests have to go stand in the river. They have to trust God. They have to show that. You see, Joshua saw that if they're even going to reach the promised land and have a future, it would require both faith and trust in God, that he would act on their behalf. So how could he trust? Because he knew the heart and the character of God. Joshua had experienced that many times in his life. He knew that God was trustworthy. The people had heard the story of old of when the people had left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And even though Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that had been present during that time, they remembered and trusted God that he could do it. So in what ways are you being asked to trust God this next year? How are you being asked to trust God? You see, as we step out in faith and we trust God as never before, we see God work in ways that we've never seen him work before as well. When we step out in faith and do something we've never done before, we see God and we have to trust God as never before. We also see him work as never before. And that's what's happened here when the people stepped out in faith and trusted God. He worked on their behalf in a miraculous way. He drew back the waters. They crossed over on dry ground. Verse 16 says, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, and the city is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the sea of Abara, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the nation had finished crossing. God worked. He drew back the waters, and the whole nation crossed over on dry ground. You see, I believe that God desires to reveal himself to us in ways that we can hardly even imagine if we're only willing to step out in faith and to trust him and allow him to work in our lives in amazing ways. Have you seen him work in your life this past year? Have you seen his provision for you? Have you seen his leading in your life? Have you seen his safety in your life? Have you seen his grace? Have you seen his forgiveness? Have you taken time to remember, to appreciate, and to thank him and the people that he's used to provide for you this year? You see, as we step out in faith, we trust God and see God work, the result of that is that our faith grows as it never has before as well. You know, after they had crossed the Jordan, Joshua sends 12 men back into the middle of the dry riverbed, one from each tribe, and he instructs them to pull out a big boulder and to carry it back over to the other side, and there they're going to make an altar. We find this at the end of chapter 4, verses 19. He says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the sons of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, "What are these stones?" then you shall inform them, your children, saying, "Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." The people's faith grew, and it prepared them for the challenges and for the opportunities that lay before them. Remember what's next: Jericho, the conquest of the promised land, and then peace and security as the people follow God's commands faithfully. Deepening our faith is a way that God uses to prepare us for the amazing journey that still lies ahead for each one of us as Christ followers. It's a process that he is intimately involved with. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." That's the faith adventure cycle. As we step out in faith in ways that we never have before, as we trust God and see him in ways that we've never had to do before, we see God work in our lives in ways that we never had before, and our faith grows as never before, which allows us to step out in faith and do things we've never done before. And as that process continues in our life, we continue to grow, we continue to see God work more, our faith continues to grow, and we're able to step out and do things that we never have before. You know, I'm quite sure that this coming year is going to have some situations in it for each one of us that require us to put our faith in God, that require us to step out into new things we've never done before. Will we be ready? Are we learning from our past, seeing God's faithfulness at work? Are we willing to step out again, putting our faith in God as he calls us to something new? So how can you prepare for this next year? How can we work this week even? Well, I want to encourage each of you to find a moment in your week this week to take some time and to get away, to reflect, to look back upon this past year, to ask yourself, how has God been at work in my life? What can I give thanks for? How can I appreciate what he has done, what he is doing? Take Psalm 103 and use that as a guide to look back and to forget not any of the benefits that we've had from God. And then anticipate those future events that are taking place in your life. Some of the things you know and some of the things you won't know yet. But look at them with an attitude of faith that says, I'm willing to step into my future as I step out in faith, trusting God, anxious to see him at work, and excited to see my faith grow as a result of that. And finally, like Joshua, I want to encourage you, be strong and courageous. Step out in faith as we step into our future. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Father, as we look back over this past year, there are so many things that we want to give you thanks for. And Lord, I pray that each one of us can take some time this week to look back. Lord, I know that not everything has been beautiful this past year in our lives. There have been difficulties. But I pray that even in reflecting upon those things, we would see how your hand has been with us. We would see your faithfulness at work. We would see how you have not abandoned us, Lord, but you have been with us, and that your loving kindness has been new and fresh every morning. Lord, help us not just look at the circumstances, but help us look at you. Help us understand the ways that you've been at work on our lives. May we be thankful for that, Lord, for we truly have much to be praiseful for. And Father, I pray that as we begin to turn and anticipate this next year, a year that will hold many uncertainties for many of us, Lord, I pray that we could look at next year with eyes of faith, that we could look at it with a willingness to step out in faith. That might mean we actually get into the river before you stop the waters. That might mean we have to trust you in ways that we can't even imagine yet possible. But as we do that, Lord, may we see your faithfulness. May we see you work in mighty ways, not because of our faith, but because of who you are, and because of your desire to complete that good work that you've begun in each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would give us that courage, you would give us that strength to pursue you with passion this coming year, to be found faithful. Father, thank you for accompanying us in that journey. Thank you for being with us in that adventure of faith that you set before us. We praise you in Christ's precious name. Amen. Go now in peace to serve, to follow the Lord. Amen.